for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday afternoon, October the 24th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on water spirits.
Praise the Lord. Well, I know you've had a long day. It's been a long day. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. All you back people want to move forward since our group is thinned out temporarily. Lord, we come before your throne and we just praise your mighty name. We thank you that you are so wonderful, Lord. What a wonderful God you are. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you will anoint this message. Put your hands on your ears. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand. Father, we commit this time to you and we thank you that our thoughts will be established. Father, we confess that you're the teacher. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to cover this place with the blood of Jesus. I ask you to loose ministering angels into this place in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to cover this place with the blood of Jesus, our ministries with the blood of Jesus, all of our family back at home with the blood of Jesus, everything that concerns us, Lord, we pray angels all around us. And Father, we want the mind of Christ. We ask you to download us with words from heaven. Father, I pray that even if I say it wrong, your Holy Spirit will say it right to every heart. And I pray, Lord, even if somebody hears it wrong, your Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts the correct word. And we bind all spirits that would twist or pervert the word of God, any spirits that would block the truth that sets us free. Father, we present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice in Jesus' name. We thank you that we've been raised to sit with you, Lord, in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. We take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the keys you've given us to the kingdom to bind and loose, and we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. In the name of Jesus, we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this meeting, this camp, or anything that concerns us in Jesus' name. We bind every demon that's been assigned to us to block us from doing what God put us here for. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, I came here with two messages, and so it took me a little time today to decide what God wanted me to do. But it's going to be on water spirits, marine spirits. Before I start, though, I want to establish something. It says in Psalms 119:91b, all things are God's servants. Let me say that again. All things are God's servants. Isaiah 54:16 says, "Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work, and I, God, have created the destroyer to ruin." So when you look at what's going on in the world, it helps you to know that all of these things that's happening is God's servants. He uses the enemy. In Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for the day of evil. God, two reasons, and I don't know all the reasons that God uses the devil, but two reasons I know he uses the devil. He uses the devil to discipline us when we get out from under his refuge. You know, we were talking up here about wherever there's a law, there's a judge, there's a court, and there's an officer. And so when we get out from under God's refuge and step out into Satan's realm, those fiery darts are flying. And so He uses the enemy to discipline us because he disciplines every son whom he loves. Another reason he uses the devil is that he doesn't want robots. He says, I put before you death and life, blessings and curse, choose life. So we can choose life or we can choose death. He lets us choose. Have you ever tried to thought, you know, you wish somebody would love you or your kids would love you or they would show they loved you. And you could say, hey, love me. But that takes all the fun out of it, doesn't it? I mean, you want people to love you because they love you, not because you force them to love you. And so God uses the enemy as a competitive God to let us choose. Do we want God, life, or do we want to follow death and the curse? And Psalms, Colossians says, everything was created by God and for God, and there wasn't anything that was made that was made that wasn't made for God's purposes. And I'm sure all of you know that the Old Testament is for today. I'm just going to give you some scriptures before I start teaching. So if I teach out of the Old Testament, a little voice won't talk to you and say, well, she's in the Old Testament. Everything that's in the Old Testament is in the New Testament. The disciples taught out of the Old Testament before the New Testament was even written. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you might want to study these out because I'm just going to read them. 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Acts 28:23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came a man to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, this was Paul, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, Joshua through Malachi, Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Luke 24:25, Jesus speaking. Then he said to him, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And he said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. So he wants us to do his ministry, which is salvation, healing, deliverance, evangelism, and to heal people and to deliver people. And I agree with Frank. Healing and deliverance is, I guess maybe Jim said that, that healing and deliverance go together. John 5:46, for if you'd believed Moses, you would have believed me, Jesus said, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So you see, the Old Testament is important. Acts 26:21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, and to your brethren like me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatever he says unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Matthew 13:13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and in them that fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear. There again, quoting Isaiah, Mark 7:10. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whosoever curses his father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his mother or father, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such things as these. 2 Peter 3:1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. And he said to them, if you hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though no one rose from the dead. Matthew chapter 5 says, if you teach the Old Testament is not important, you'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. It says that in Matthew 5. Acts 24:14 says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which thou shalt call heresy, so worship I the Lord of my God, fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And then it says in Hebrews 7 that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father. And I believe that Abraham was his grandfather. So if Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of Abraham, and that's a good thing, what's that to say about the bad things that come down the bloodline? Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And of course, you know we're spiritual Jews. Now, that's part of one message I was going to teach, but I'm going to teach a different one now. But I just wanted to establish the fact that people have demons because of sin. And I'm so glad that here at this camp, we teach to repent of your sin. And I can say this honestly. I believe this is probably, if there are other places here in America where a person hears a word that will change their life or they can get delivered, I don't know where it is. There are so many places that are perverted with witchcraft and all the mess that's going on in the world. I thank God for this camp. And I tell people this. I've been coming since 97. And every time I go home changed. And I tell people, you come to every camp, and next year you won't even know yourself if you've got a repentant heart. And so I encourage you to keep coming back and bring people with you. Spread the word. We're living in days that we better get our lives straightened up. I mean, it's going to be too late when calamity hits this country for us to start saying, hey, I better repent of my sin. And that's why God has used some of you and us. It looks like we think, well, God, why isn't things working right? Why isn't my church bigger? Why doesn't things look bigger? It may be because you're doing something right. Just like Frank said, Moses was on the backside of the desert till he was 80 years old. God training him in the wilderness, and we're in the wilderness. But God wants to use you to strengthen your brother in these end times. And that's why we're learning to crucify our flesh, because we'll be able to help people that haven't been crucifying their flesh. Okay, this message really came out of this message on water spirits, really came out of a message I heard recently here at Lake Hamilton called Marine Spirits. And this was just kind of added revelation that God gave. Because if you've been like me, you thought, water spirits? What in the world is a water spirit? That sounds like something kind of off the wall and bizarre. I mean, of course, we weren't talking about anything bizarre back there. That was just chef talk, okay? This was before all that stuff I've been hearing about lately. But a water spirit, what is a water spirit? A water spirit is a deceiving, lying spirit. And it comes in through words. Words you speak and words that you listen to that you receive. I can say there are water spirits coming over the news, over the talk show host, over the news media. Satan is still the prince of the power of the air. And it says in Revelation that the serpent poured forth water from his mouth like a flood against the woman. The scripture says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. Well, what if you don't know the word? Then you're going to be swept away. Because if you don't know what the word says, you're going to believe the lying spirits. And I like what Frank said. He said, if you have a thought of fear, for example, that's idolatry. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. And Jill said that too, that having a thought, an imagination of your heart, believing a lie, wherever you've believed a lie, we sin because we believe lies. And so that's the purpose of these deceiving spirits, to get you off track so you'll live a life of rebellion, so you can be shipwrecked in these days. And, you know, the word that you hide in your heart may be the only word that you're going to have in the future. I don't know what God has in store for us, but I can tell you, God is in control. I like what Carla said, God is in control. The Bible says that Jesus sits as king over the flood. And we know that God said that he would never again destroy the world with a flood of liquid water. But he said when the disciples came to him and said, Master, tell me when will be the sign of your coming. And he said, it will be just like the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the flood came to take them away. And as I was reading scriptures this morning on flood, it said the whole world was inundated with a physical flood. Right now the world is inundated with a spiritual flood of lies from the enemy coming across the news media, coming through the movies. You're being conditioned for what is coming. The demonic stuff to get you to accept it, to get you to accept tattoos and body piercing and all these things to change your, they can even, I'm told, and this is another chef thing for the chef, that your DNA can be changed through inoculations, through shots. And I know behind autism and ADHD and brain inflammation these little children have is the immunizations they're giving children. I mean, by the time a kid is 5 years old, he's had about 60 shots. And so that's one way they can change a person's DNA. And there's just a lot of stuff out there that I believe it's bearing witness the scripture when it's being explained. And I don't understand it, but I believe that God, as deliverance ministers, wants us to know. In fact, even this thing with water spirits, I mean, in ministry time, that's come up over and over of ministering people water spirits. One precious lady told me this, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or embarrass you, but she said that her mother used to do a ritual. She'd go down to the water and she'd do something, worship for protection, worship in the water. Pharaoh worshiped the water. And so a water spirit comes in through words, words we speak. We know Satan's behind the water work. The water spirits. Leviathan, Poseidon, Neptune, Dagon are other words for water spirits. Dagon is half fish and half man. And then there's Pan, he's half man and half something else. And now you're seeing TV programs that say half human. Go to Isaiah 59 verse 3. It says, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken falsehood, and your tongue mutters wickedness. Now that word tongue means a cove of water. in this particular instance, in the Hebrew, it means a cove of water. It means a pool of water. It means an ingot. I-N-G-O-T. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But an ingot is a pool of water, a cove of water, a fork of fire, the tongue of man or animals used for licking, eating, and figuratively of speaking, a babbler, a talker, an evil speaker. And then we know with the tongues of fire in James chapter 3, it says the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. It sets on fire the very course of our life. And then it goes on in that passage, it says you control the whole body if you can control your tongue. Well, this is a body in here. I'm a body. There's the body of Christ. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body, is what the word says. And then it describes the tongue as a rudder of a ship, and a ship is guided by the rudder. And so basically he's saying that your life is guided by the rudder of your tongue. And says with your tongue you can burn down a forest, which we're all trees according to Psalms 1. We can burn down a forest. And so there's a forest in here. So also one of the words of ingot also means a fork of fire, a tongue of fire. Go to Revelation chapter 12, please. My husband used to say please. I love the one that when Carla was telling about Clark Kent and Superman, when Mike said, yeah, that's a good message to teach. And she said, yeah, Clark, get out of the phone booth. Get in the phone booth. Carla, you know, Carla is not shy like she used to be when she used to come here. She's getting that funny.
I'm getting free.
Bold, funny, and free. Amen? And fun. Okay, Revelation chapter 12. First let's read the verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in the woe of the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down into you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. We see the world inundated by the flood right now. And if you're unwise enough to be sitting in front of a TV set, you are being flooded with lies and deception. And just, you know, Kyle, my granddaughter was married a Buffalo Bill. He recently got cut, but I never liked football, but I started watching the Buffalo Bills. And so when the commercial comes on, and I don't turn the TV on the rest of the year, I have to call DirecTV to ask them how to turn it on because I can't see all the little buttons. And anyway, just when they go into the commercials, I've never seen such demonic stuff. Robotex and all kinds of demonic, evil stuff. This thing, this commercial for this half-human thing shows where they're giving shots and changing DNA. And I haven't watched it. I don't intend to, but it's so demonic. Okay, now go to verse 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Well, let's go back further. Let's go back to 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, and who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they, and just like Frank said, if you receive that accusation in your mind and it becomes a thought, it becomes an idol. It's idolatry. God says, take all your thoughts captive. That's a command. There's another scripture in Isaiah that said, God says, I have stretched out my hand all day long to people who walk in rebellion, following after their own thoughts. Now, who's planning those thoughts? If it's not the Word of God, it's the words of Satan. There's no in-between. There's no neutral fuzzy. It's either of God or it's of the devil. If it contradicts the Word of God, it is of the devil. It says, "For this reason, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant." Did you know that God wants you to live an abundant life? God loves you so much. And we're all a work in progress. All of us have areas that we're working on. And when we get to heaven, we won't have to work on nothing anymore. We'll be perfect. Hallelujah. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman, which is the type of the church, who gave birth to a male child. And let's see, 15. "And the serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman." Now you could look up, I haven't used all the words. You can look up water, waters, flood, sea, waves. These are all words for spirits of deception. It says, "A serpent poured forth water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood." Now Jesus said that his return will be just like the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until Noah entered the ark. It says, "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river." Okay, so Satan, these deceiving spirits, the scripture in verse 12 is saying that there are creatures in the sea which are so sentenced to the woe that would befall the inhabitants of the earth. 1 Samuel 5:3, "We see the name of a Philistine idol, when in our present day language can be stand for mermaid spirit." We see little mermaid cartoons. Don't let your children watch cartoons. You're a spiritual garden, and see the Word of God. This is seed. Words contrary to this Bible are seeds. And you plant the seeds in the spiritual garden, it's going to produce after its kind. You sow perversion in a child through letting him listen to something perverted, witchcraft, you know, Harry Potter, all the stuff that's being put on children through movies, through toys, books, through TV, through cartoons, planting stuff in their spiritual garden. If I had a baby right now, I'd be playing the Word of God 24/7 in the nursery. So plant good things in your life, in the lives of your children. God says, without holiness, no man's going to see God. How can I be holy if I'm coming to a deliverance session and I'm getting free and I'm repenting, then I go home and I start planting more garbage in my spiritual garden, and it's producing after its kind? The Bible says, don't plant two kinds of seed in your garden, because the bad seed corrupts the good. You don't have to take care of the weeds in your garden, but you better take care of the good plants, because the weeds will choke out the good. So plant the Word of God. I love to go, I've been doing this since 1991 or 90. I've been playing the Word of God as loud as I can play it. I mean, when I say loud, that I can understand it when I sleep, because Song of Solomon says, "My body sleeps, but I'm awake." And you're planting the Word of God in your heart. And I don't want anything to corrupt the seed. In fact, I've even asked the Lord the other day, "Lord, you want me to just quit watching ball games?" I mean, I put the thing on mute and turn my face. I can't bear to look at those monsters. But I'm willing. I mean, if that's affecting me in a bad way, which it couldn't be good. I guess the very fact I'm questioning is I need to quit. They already answered my question. Anyway. So Dagon was the name of a Philistine god, a Philistine idol. And you know that Goliath was a Philistine. Some of us have had Philistine spirits in us and haven't even known it. water spirits, Dagon, Goliath. You know, I recently did a teaching in my Bible study on the shield of faith. And when I was studying out the words of shield, in the positive, a shield was, you know, like a part of the armor, a shield, in the positive. But when I looked up the word in the Hebrew, it also means the tough, scaly hide of a crocodile. And I thought it was interesting when I was reading the story of David and Goliath. David had an armor bearer that carried his shield. And also, Goliath had one. The word Goliath means sorcerer or diviner. And so Goliath was operating under the strong, scaly hide of a crocodile. That was, in other words, Leviathan, pride, Satan's king over all the sons of pride. These water spirits are Leviathan, Poseidon, all goes back to Satan. But I thought that was interesting, and I thought, how many times in my bloodline we've operated in the flesh? Instead of trusting God's shield, we've trusted the arm of the flesh, which is really testing that strong, scaly hide of a crocodile. And I've taken that off of me. I don't want it on me. And if God says, clothe yourself with humility, we need to clothe ourselves with humility, which means we to do that, I have to take off that crocodile hide. Anyway, more stuff for your shelf. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, you know the story, and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon, something happened. It fell off and his head was cut off. 1 Samuel 5:3 says, and when they of Ashdod rose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen from his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again. By the following day, the thing had happened. So we know that Dagon was half human, half animal, or half and half, because it was a woman and animal. And you know, in all of the mythology and the false gods, they represent this like Pan. Who knows what Pan was? He was half human and half goat, the goat god. And so through this transhumanism and things they're trying to do, they're trying to create these kind of things. And I'm not saying they can or they can't, but it's certainly beyond God's boundary. And God is in control of it, and he's allowing it. And it's not surprised him a bit. He's been telling us it's going to happen, even through the Word of God. So we've already read Revelation. Luke 17:26, when the disciples asked Jesus, Master, what will be the sign of your coming? He said, and it just happened in the days of Noah, so it'll be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It was just be the same in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. So we know that God's telling us what's coming. We know God gave the rainbow to promise us he would never destroy it with a flood of water. But now the flood is a spiritual flood. If I say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, when I'm weak, I'm strong, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will never leave me, fail me, or forsake me. For through God I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. That's the rivers of living water. The opposite of that, you're fat, you're stupid, you're no good, you're not going to make it, you're a failure, you're worthless. Here you are, you've never accomplished anything, etc., etc., etc. You're listening to the flood of the enemy coming against you. And you're taking that to heart, and that becomes an idol. And so it's got to be cast down. In John 4:10, so the opposite of the Word of God is living water. Well, Satan's Word is just the opposite. Bitterness, deception, death, destruction. John 4:10, Jesus said, And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water?" And Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Remember that Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 15 that what you say, what comes out of your mouth, comes out of the heart. So if I'm speaking negatively, that means I've got a heart issue where I've received a water spirit of deception, right? Every area that I'm speaking out something contrary to the Word of God, I've got an area of deception. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Same with my thought life. It says all these evil thoughts are coming up out of the heart. So if I have an evil thought, I need to find out what got planted back there. So the serpent pours forth water from his mouth, which would be the opposite of living water. So we can establish that Satan is in charge of water spirits as God is in charge of living water. Matthew 15:18, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." So you could say that when the pure water of the Word is not coming out of our mouth, a person's deceived in that area. The scripture says that Leviathan is the sea monster and he's awakened through cursing. Well, what do I curse with? My mouth. So if I want to awaken Leviathan in me, then I would speak words that didn't line up with the Word. Psalms 109 verse 17 says, well, let me read Job 3:2. Job 3:2 says, "Let those curse it who curse the day who are prepared to rouse Leviathan." So that's why I have to keep my flesh crucified. Right? Because when Jesus died at Calvary, he died to get the devil out of me. And he hadn't all come out yet. Every place I'm in sin, that's just an area that's not God. If I want the manifested life of the Lord Jesus, the resurrected life of the Lord to work through me, I have to continue dying to my flesh. And I'm glad that came up earlier at this question and answer thing. But I can let Jesus rule and manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or I can let Leviathan rule and manifest the deeds of the flesh. And Leviathan is Satan. He's king over all the sons of pride. Psalms 109:17, "He who loved cursing, so it came to him, and he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment, and it entered into his body, his bowels like water, wasting water, which is poison, root of bitterness, and like an oil into his bones." Amplified Bible says, "Yes, he loved cursing, and it came back upon him. He delighted not in blessing, but it was far from him. He clothed himself also with cursing as with his garment, and it seeped into his inward life like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as the raiment with which he covers himself and as the girdle with which he is girded continually." Sounds like a different covering, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like being clothed with humility. You're clothed with something else. "Let this be the reward of my adversaries from the Lord and those who speak evil against my soul." James 3:1 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors and reprovers of others. My brethren, for you know that we teachers will be judged by a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Thus we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and curb his entire nature. I'm not there yet, but oh Lord, help us work on that. Help us be delivered from this. Verse 3. If we set bits in our mouths to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships, through they are so great and are driven by rough winds. They are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse of the herdsman determines. Doesn't God say we overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony? And most people leave this off, and we love not our life even to death. We have to give up our life to find it. The Lord is teaching me something through Carla's messages this last camp. Of, you know, for 20 years, I've been saying, Lord, heal my eyes. Lord, heal my eyes. He said, Jerry, here they're healed. I did this for you at Calvary. And I think last time I received the healing, and now I'm waiting for the manifestation of it. And that really helped me, Carla. It really did. I think you've taught that before, but I think I got it. Because the Lord showed me, if God's presence has to be present for healing, and if you do a word study on the presence of God, His presence has to be there for healing, for deliverance, for salvation. And if I'm moaning, groaning, living in unbelief and doubt, not overcoming by the word of my testimony, the blood of my Jesus, and loving not my life, then I'm not in His presence. I'm either in the presence of the Lord through praising and worshiping Him, or I'm in the presence of the unholy spirit. So if I want God to heal me, I have to be a praiser. I have to be grateful. Are not the angels, ministering spirits, sent to help and care for those who receive His salvation? Those that wait upon the Lord, and you're waiting for your manifestation, will not be disappointed. That's what God says. Thank you, Lord. And so we control our ship with the rudder, our tongue. Well, the Bible says no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Well, I've got a problem. But if I get my heart pure, since what's in my heart comes out my mouth, if I get my heart pure, my words are pure. Is that right? So you can't tame the tongue, but you can get your heart purified. And the more pure your heart is, the less you're going to speak words that don't line up with the word. And my mouth is, just like your mouth, has been your worst problem, besides pride, haughty, arrogant, egotism, insolent, arrogant, rude. Oh my goodness. And you know what? You know how I got on this? Is this water spirit, pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, haughtiness, is tied in with Leviathan, pride, and my eye problems. And I don't understand all of it yet, but the Lord's showing me a little. He knows I couldn't take it all at once. And neither could you. He drives it out a little by little. If you saw everything is wrong with you in one day, you could not take it. Look how hard it is to deal with one little issue, much less seeing everything that's wrong with you. But anyway, it says in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of wickedness, it set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body, and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited here by hell. Okay, if the tongue in Isaiah 59 means a pool of water, a cup of water, you can see how the tongue is tied in with the water spirit. It's the rudder of the ship that floats on the water, or that runs on the water. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal, can be tamed and has been tamed by human genus nature. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If I'm speaking death, then I'm speaking water spirits on you. If you receive that, guess what? You've received an idol if you receive that in your heart. So you got to know what God's word says. Out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. These things, my brethren, ought not be so. Does a fountain send forth simultaneously from the same opening fresh water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. It says that if we give way before the wicked through fear of man, we're like a trampled spring and a polluted well. That's what the Word says. So we better get strengthened in these days so that we don't bend before the wicked. But if you have bitter jealousy in verse 14, envy and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourself on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. I'm glad Carla said what she did about selfish ambition. You know what? As ministers of the gospel, we have to keep in mind that we're working for God, not ourselves. That we are on the same team, and God has given us varying gifts and talents, and He doesn't want us to be like anybody else. This superficial wisdom is not, which comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish or demonical. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and bitterness, contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. God wants us to be people that are sincere. I love the transparency that's here. I really appreciate that about you, Frank and Carla and Kyle and Jim and everybody. God appreciates that. I think it helped somebody yesterday when I was sharing all the stuff that's in me because I said it's in you. So anyway, it kind of causes people to let down and think, hey, wait a minute. I can let you pray for me because now you won't think I'm bad. When I first got saved, I thought I did God a favor. But 50 years of walking with God, I'm telling you, I'm seeing some of the biggest demons like pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, insolence, arrogance, rudeness. And I'm not going to be that way anymore. I'm putting on meekness. I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm ready to get out of that crocodile skin. That false shield I've been trusting in. You see, if I trust arm of the flesh, I came out of generations of... My daddy was the strongest person I've ever known. Even at 94, he was in the attic trying to fix his electric and he couldn't even see. And you take pride in that. But God, it's an abomination to the Lord. So God has to unravel some things that we believed that we thought were good that are not good. You know, for 50 years, I can honestly say there's not been a day in 50 years that I've ever turned my back on God or that Jesus hadn't been the Lord of my life. But you can be totally surrendered to all of those things and then God's going to show you some more.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.